Camp Wetaskiwin knows that it is a Scouts Canada camp. It's been there for a long time, a great rich history out there. And this weekend, they're going to be doing a lot of work. You're going to see a lot of young kids out there being put to work, but it's also part of being a scout or a girl guide, because both of them will be coming out there as part of a environmental weekend. And joining me in studio, yes, we've got more guests at the White House of Talk, is Bryce Hunsinger. You may remember Bryce. He was one of the last ones out of Hawaii when it was on fire, and we caught up with Bryce. He had just gotten back after almost a day and a half of being inside the airport waiting to get a flight back to Canada. We caught up with him there, and also he got an award as one of the top educators in the country, the Prime Minister's Award. We talked to him there as well, and he's a good friend, someone who does amazing work, not just being an amazing teacher and educator, but also involved in Scouts Canada. So first of all, welcome to The Drive in studio, Bryce.
Thank you very much.
So how long have you been involved with the Scouts for?
So I've been a leader the last 25 years, and I was in for 11 as a youth, so I guess 36 total so far.
36 total years with Scouts Canada. That is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
And one of the oldest Scouts is St. Catharines, is it not?
Yeah, so it's quite the debate. Scouting definitely started here in St. Catharines in 1909 at the property of what is now Memorial School, or was Memorial School, in a chicken barn, Harris Nealon's father's chicken barn. They started there, and the paperwork in the colonies... it's debatable whether Merrickville, Ontario, ourselves, or Port Morion, Nova Scotia, but we're one of the first three by far, and we've been here ever since.
Well, and you're a student of history, so I trust that your historical facts are accurate as someone who has studied history. In terms of scouting for you, what did those 11 years as a scout give you?
Oh, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the time I spent in scouting. It taught me perseverance. It taught me to be resilient. It taught me to plan, to be organized, to appreciate what's around me, to be a steward of the environment, and to give back to the community. One of my scoutmasters was a great man. His name was Stuart Gravett. And Stuart was also one of the superintendents of the Board of Education. So our paths crossed again later in life. And he had said to me, how many years were you a scout, son? And I said, oh, 11 years. He said, well, if you can give back 11 years, that'd be great. Because if everybody gave back what they got, our volunteer situation within the community would be so much stronger. And then I have role models like Joe Vanio, who was the last year's recipient of the Volunteer of the Year Award. He's got 90 years of service to the community, 52 in scouting, 38 with Special Olympics.
Oh, my gosh.
And so those people, you know, stand out as role models for me. And I try to do that for my children now, and the scouts that are under my guidance. Definitely make mistakes. I'm human. But the best thing I can do is try to lead by example and give them opportunities to grow like I received.
So is scouting, has it gone through the ebbs and flows like a lot of, you know, sports and other extracurricular activities? Has it gone through that up and down?
It certainly has. And I would say COVID wasn't a friend for it either, because a lot of things we did was face-to-face and in-person. A lot of groups did the best they could online, just like we were teaching. But now that we're back and we're able to get back at the camp and do things, this weekend is going to be fantastic, because we're going to have 450 people down there planting and making a difference within the environment. And it's scouts, it's guides, it's little ones, embers, beavers, cubs, scouts, ventures, pathfinders, guides, all working together. So the camp will have a buzz like it hasn't had in a few years, and that's going to be nice.
So like a good interviewee jumped right into the subject matter of this weekend. It is a environmental weekend at the camp, and proximity-wise, for the listener who may not know where Camp Wetaskiwin is located, give us a sort of quick geography lesson.
So if you're at Burgoyne Bridge in St. Catharines and you turn up 12 Mile towards the power station, just keep going, because the camp, 12 Mile runs right through the camp. So all the work that we're going to be doing will help restore that watershed.
So the original 12 runs through the camp. So yeah. You've got the Decue Falls that then has created a larger 12 Mile Creek, but you're upstream from
Yes, from we that. Get a lot of runoff from Short Hills and so on and so forth. So Yeah. So basically, if you go down Pelham Road, it's just on the cusp of St. Catharines and Thorold in the boundary. But it was originally...
Sounds like it's by the Short Hills Provincial Park.
Right beside it.
Sounds like it's right across the road from the Brown Homestead.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is that when the camp was purchased in 1945 for the 88 and a half acres that we got, behind the parking lot, there's a hill, and that's where the Brown Cemetery is located. And I know that the foundation is looking for the cemetery even as we speak. But some of the old scouters that I've been talking to as I've been writing my book, they've come forward and said, oh, yeah, we remember it. We know exactly where it is. And one fellow might have a photo and so on and so forth. But in getting prepared for this weekend, I found an aerial photo from 1934 of the camp. It's all farmland. So that's something we can talk about in a sec. But behind it, there's a plot of land where the parking lot is now. But behind it, that stayed forested. And that's guarantee that's where the cemetery is. And so really interesting that we can hike up there with the children and say, this is a pioneer cemetery. This is exactly where these folks settled, and this is where, you know, things are. We're respectful and all that, but just to hear, yeah, when we were kids, we went up there in late 40s, early 50s, there was an archway, like they remember.
Wow.
So really interesting aspect. And like the farm originally was owned by the Shaver family.
From the Shaver Hospital.
Yeah. Okay. So like, it was Loyalist land. And so it's been occupied and used for generations. But it just happened to be that in 1945, we needed a new camp. The original was a place called Camp Wigwasan across the street from the GM plant on Glendale Avenue.
Okay.
And in there, we rented land, or not myself, but the Scouting Association rented land from the Seaway Authority. So where the current canal meets the old Third Canal, that whole section that's kind of like a weir to the side, that's where they camped for about 8 years. But we needed a bigger facility, so they bought Wetaskiwin for, this is hilarious, $4,000, if you can imagine, 88 acres for $4,000. And they had saved $2,000 through Apple Day and everything, through the Depression, through the war, and they had a $2,000 mortgage. And the community was so good to scouting at that time, and they still are, that some phone calls were made, and the mortgage was gone in 2 hours. Local businesses did it all up. So, and then it was a safe place for children to grow.
Yeah.
And that's where they went. And
a lot of history.
Yes.
With Camp Wetaskiwin. Now, this weekend, how many kids are you expecting out this weekend?
We'll probably have about 375.
Oh, my gosh.
And then 75 leaders. So, yeah. And we have some cadets coming as well. I don't want to forget to mention that. And we also have people from Trout Unlimited, Niagara Community Foundation, Tree Canada, Walker Industries, Sassafras Farms, Landcare Niagara, Niagara College, the Conservation Authority, and the Winona Men's Club. They've all contributed, whether it's trees, whether it's educational programming, or whether it's just hard work. Like, for example, Walker's coming out on Wednesday this week with their community program, and they're going to be pulling invasive species for us.
So what are they pulling? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I need to know.
Yeah, two of them. Two in particular they're pulling. I've been pulling a lot of them. You can see by my legs, I've been knee-deep in it. One is multiflora rose, and it's not a native species to the camp area. Unfortunately, in my research, I found out that 300 bushes were planted in 1956, and I'm sure they were planted where they were planted, all along the creeks, because the root system spread very well, and it would help retain the banks of the creek, so it would stop erosion.
Interesting.
The problem is it chokes out all the plants that you really want to grow, and the kids get cut up. So they need to be removed, and we've been working hard on that, and Walker's going to be able to help. The folks from Walker are going to be able to help us tremendously. And the other is buckthorn is a tree that, same thing, it's choking things out. So we've
What's buckthorn? What does that look like?
It's a lot easier to
identify it?
Yeah, I can with the leaves, but right now it's kind of hard. Basically, the end tip's got a bit of a thorn to it. So as it comes up, instead of like the leaf at the end, you get a bit of a thorn to it. And so luckily, Trout Unlimited, Tessa and Britt have gone through and marked them for us, and then we take the children, and they've been coming out. So our group in particular, they've become quite good at yanking root systems and doing the work. They've started back in the fall, and then even on the day of the eclipse, they were out there. I was able to join them at the end of the school day, and then but they had been out there for 3 hours before me.
And it's sort of, is it just pulling the weeds and bushes, or are you tackling any of the any invasive trees that are like...
Well, the buckthorn's a tree. Yeah. So the one couple we took out were over 25, 30 feet tall.
Wow.
The thorns are everywhere. So that's been a lot. And we have to educate the children because we also have wild black raspberry, which is something we want to keep because it feeds the birds. It's part of the ecosystem. So making sure they can identify between the two of them. We had a meeting yesterday with the leaders that are going to be out this weekend. And we got information from... Tread Unlimited on what to look for, educate the children so they know. The main thing is to help make this sustainable. We get a lot of runoff from Short Hills up from Pelham all the way down. And if we can control the water, then we can create the conditions to bring the brook trout back. I remember when it's funny that I'm getting to the age where I can
say, I was going to say. Yeah.
But I remember the last brook trout I saw come out of that creek. A kid named Aaron Morazic caught it. Because he used to live at the camp with his dad in the house down there as a ranger. He caught it in 91, 92. That's the last I remember. And it's just because the creek is changed so much because of runoff and the sediment, and it doesn't have enough shade.
Enough shading, yeah. It gets too warm.
It's got to be clean, too. It's got to be clean water. It's got to have the eddies. So all the things that we're learning as we go along, like I take my son down there and we fish, but he's pulling out suckers and different things, which is great. He has a great time. But we've never caught a trout, which is really a shame.
And it used to be a very well stocked trout space where you'd have the naturalization of that. Now, so if there's parents out there thinking of how to get their kids involved in a program like Scouts, what do they do?
Main thing is you just go to scouts.ca. You can go to register. They'll look for, you put in your postal code. They can actually go through and figure out groups in your area. They can also contact, if they type in Scouting St. Catharines, our group website will come up. And if it's somebody would be better off at a group, if they live geographically, say closer to the downtown core, then the First St. Catharines, which is out of the Optimus Hall in Napier, that's a great place to go. If they're in the north end, they could join us at the 57 St. Catharines at the Grantham Optimist Hall. Or at Grantham United Church, the 23rd's out of there. So just we want to make sure children have the opportunity, and so it's the easiest way to get them involved.
Talk about the life skills that you learned for Scouts. You did it for 12, 11 years, and then you've given back for a whole heck of a lot more on that. And Bryce, you're an amazing leader in the community. You do great work through your education and through Scouts. And through so many other programs, and I know you gotta run and get going on for the rest of your day. You just came over here from where you teach. Now you're out in
St. David's,
yeah. Dragons?
Yes, sir.
St. David's Dragons. Give a shout out to the Dragons.
Oh, have a great night, Dragons. See you tomorrow. Got Heritage Fair tomorrow, so my history blood is all up today. I can't wait to see what they produce tomorrow. So
that's
excited.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's Bryce Hunsinger, Scouts Canada in Niagara, and they're doing an environmental weekend at Camp Wetaskiwin.